Well, good morning, Second Service. Go ahead and be seated. If you have a Bible, you can turn it open to Hebrews chapter 13 as we are in part four of our message that we're calling the Christian's Punch List. If you didn't bring a Bible with you today, that's okay. We have the verses on the screen behind me, and you can follow along in that manner. As you make your way there, I just want to take a few minutes to sort of just address the state of our church right now in the midst of this pandemic and just sort of catch you up a little bit to where we are and where we're seeking to go as a congregation of believers in Christ in the near future here. So just a couple of minutes of announcements, bear with me, and then we'll get right to God's word. But as we share these things with you, go ahead and find your place in Hebrews chapter 13. So I want to begin this morning by saying thank you publicly to all of the men and women in the blue t-shirts, blue polos that have been men in the front the last 8 weeks consistently, steadfastly at both First and Second Service. When we opened the church back in July, I asked these people to please, you know, commit to 8 weeks at least of handling both services so that we could just get our doors open again. And we didn't know what it would look like, and we didn't know how long we'd be in this beginning phase of reopening the church. Nobody ever saw any of this coming, and certainly all rookies at navigating through it, we weren't really quite sure. But we're thankful that by the grace of God, that we're closing week one. It's been 8 weeks of this phase of reopening, and next Sunday we'll begin our phase two of our reopening plan. What that looks like for those of you in the congregation is really pretty much the same as what you already are used to. We'll continue to have our rows spaced apart as they are, and we'll continue to have you register online for right now. That's the way that we have to do things right now. Now listen, please, because I get so much feedback and we don't get a lot of chance to dialogue, and you're just listening to my monologue every week, I want to tell you something. I have my own personal convictions and even opinions on things myself, but how I handle things personally and how I handle things pastorally, okay, are two different things. And I have a responsibility to the Lord and to authorities that are over me until they ask me to do something in contradiction with honoring Christ. So please respect my position. Please respect the process. It's not easy. It's difficult. There's a lot of weight on our shoulders. I'm meeting with my board tomorrow. We constantly are meeting. We're constantly seeking to do things upright, to honor you as the bride of Christ, and to be a witness to the lost world around us. So I hope that you can appreciate that, and I hope that you can honor that and honor the process. With that being said, Wednesday evenings, we're continuing through the month of September to do our outdoor tent Bible studies, weather permitting. I have found these times together incredibly refreshing. There's something wonderful about the simplicity of a tent, a few guitars, a few voices, and just family Bible study under the stars. We're in September this week. It's crazy. But as you notice, if you were here this past Wednesday, it's getting dark earlier. And so we're going to have lights under the tent so people can see their Bibles and read along. The fire will be going. The tiki torches will be lit so the bugs are being kept away. And we'll just continue to keep children's ministry, at least for now, on Wednesday evenings closed. And we'll have family service for all ages outside, weather permitting. The tent was supposed to be done today. Today was supposed to be the last day of the tent, but the Holy Spirit put on my heart just to extend it. It's not an inexpensive thing to rent, but I want to bless those of you who are not quite yet comfortable to come indoors. You're waiting for cold and flu season to do that. That's fine. It's a joke and just trying to make light of things, although it's for real. But at the same time, you know, we're just trying to keep that going for Bible study on Wednesday evenings. And for those of you who are sort of creeping your way back into, slowly into the sanctuary to join us here, which ultimately is where we'll be through the winter months. Children's ministry. God willing, everything will be open from nursery to senior high starting next Sunday. With that said, we do need some servants. We can't do all of this by ourselves with the staff that we have. So if you are somebody who used to serve in a respected area of ministry and you want to get back in the game, so long as you're willing to comply with the things that we're doing according to conviction, and you've been here long enough and we know you and there's that relationship, we'd love to have your help. You can see the ministry overseers. If you don't know who they are, you're newer here, you began your journey with us through the pandemic online. My brother, Pastor Daniel, who led us in worship, he is the overseer of all ministries. You can go and talk to him. In fact, if you got any complaints, go and talk to him. Anything negative, just let him know and he'll handle it. And he might even handle you. I don't know. We'll see. But he's the guy to talk to. So that will begin next Sunday, God willing. Nursery, toddler. Again, for those of you, junior high, senior high, your study will be on Sunday mornings also, because we want you to have a chance to get fed God's word at your age level. And then hopefully you'll start plugging in for those of you in senior high on Friday nights. And then when we get back to normal Wednesday evenings, Wednesday nights. That's second service only. So second service only for junior high and senior high. The rest of the children's ministry, I think, is both services, nursery up. And so I don't really like to do announcements. I'd rather teach you God's word, so we'll leave it there. I guess the last thing that I want to say to you is this. I've been asked a few questions also about prayer meetings, the Grace Ladies ministry. Those are things that are hopefully coming soon. Okay, we're working toward them. Shauna and the team that assists her, they're planning, they're working. She's looking to me for direction. Everybody is, my head's spinning. But we're looking to get these things all back in motion as soon as possible. So hang tight. At least we got this. At least we got Wednesday. I mean, there's not a lot to complain about. We really haven't skipped a beat as a church, if I can say that. I mean, we've really kept the ball rolling. The word has gone forth, and the exaltation of Jesus has gone forth. So we'll just continue to see what the Holy Spirit does. But let's turn our attention now to God's word. Speaking of worship, you know, we want to look this morning at this topic of worship. If you think about it, we give so much of our weekly services to this topic. And so we want to have a biblical perspective, a biblical understanding of what the Bible says worship ought to be. So let's read verses 15 and 16. Collectively, we'll pray, we'll ask the Holy Spirit to fall on his word. We know he will. And then we'll slice it and dice it. By him, therefore, the writer says, Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. He says, we're to do this continuously. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, or giving thanks to the name of Jesus. Verse 16, but also do good and communicate, and do not forget to do these things. For with such sacrifice is, now notice what it says here. It's a free bit of information of what pleases God, for which God is well pleased. Whenever that shows up in your Bible reading, you should make note of it. Read what's in front of it and read what's after it, so that you and I, as learners of Christ, can be pleasers of Christ. Amen? God, we thank you for your word. We ask you now, as this second service, that you would open it to us. Open our ears, Lord. Open our hearts. Help us to have a desire to be doers and not hearers only. But also put it within us, Lord, to lean in and to listen to, Lord, this topic that is on your heart for us this morning. I pray, God, that we'd have an interest, that we would have a zeal of being biblical in our approach of praising you. That, Lord, you would stir this hunger within us. God, if there is an apathy represented in this room, or on the lawn, or on the other lens of the camera streaming this service, God, where maybe people have sort of drawn distant from you and gotten cold toward you, Lord, we ask you'd soften their hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, that you draw all men to yourself. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord, that we can plead your blood over us and ask you to cleanse us and to make us right before you. We do that now, Lord, so that nothing separates us from you. We ask you to cleanse us and forgive us. And Lord, I ask you to allow my mouth to be your mouthpiece, to speak forth, Lord, with your tone, Lord, those things according to your will that we need to hear now. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory that all God's people said again, amen. Verses 15 and 16 are the Holy Spirit's description of what is biblical praise and worship. This will not be an exhaustive study on the subject matter this morning, but rather we're just pulling from this text. And the text, in its entirety, chapter 13, is a closing portion of Scripture to Christians that are new to the faith. They've just been drawn out of Judaism, religion, into a relationship, Christianity, with Jesus Christ. And the writer here in this closing chapter is moving through this list, if you would. These action items given to the believer by the Holy Spirit of, you know, maybe encouragement to do or to be strengthened, or areas of growth maybe that need to be had in our lives. We should all be coming before it with an open heart. Lord, am I doing these things? Lord, am I doing these things the way that you want me to do these things? Am I not doing these things? And then when we go home later, Lord, why am I not doing these things? Is it ignorance? Has something stumbled me? Has something hindered me? And so on and so forth. There's no way that all of us could be on the same page this morning, ready to receive a message on worship. Some of you haven't been back to church yet. This is your first Sunday back. Some of you are backslidden. Some of you are not saved. Some of you are walking with Jesus, but you're in a low spot. And then others of you are on a mountaintop right now. We're all in different places. So we take this message, we receive it corporately, but then we should go home individually and process it before the Lord and say, God, what needs to be strengthened? What needs to grow? What needs to be developed? What needs to be birthed in my life? And we do that with sincere hearts. Here is a description this morning for the believer in Christ of what biblical worship and praise is. Again, one last thing before we move into it. I'm going to break it up, verse 15 in six ways, and then verse 16 in just one way of summation. But before we go there, I want to tell you this. If you're here today, you're listening to this message, and you're not in Christ yet, you've joined us over the last few weeks and this morning at a perfect time, because you're getting an opportunity to listen to what the Bible describes the Christian life to be, so that if you're considering, maybe I want to become a Christian, you can know what it looks like. So I encourage you to listen in as we meet together as the family of Christ. Worship number one this morning is reflective. If you're taking notes, if you've got a notepad, a journal, you want to write these things down, I'm going to give you words to describe the phrases that are found in verse 15. It's reflective. Notice the writer says that, for by him, therefore. Therefore is a word of consequence. It's like saying consequently. It's a word that means these things being so. What things being so? The things that he just got done speaking to us. Remember he said last week in our study, we have an altar. He was real exclamatory in the way he said it. He's like, we got an altar. It isn't what y'all were used to using to come into the presence of God. Not a thing there, a brazen altar where you bring a goat or a lamb or turtle doves or anything of that sort where you have to sacrifice and earn favor of God. We have an altar, the cross. We have a place where we can meet with God, where there's forgiveness of sins. We have this place that we could go to. For the Jews then, they were used to something that kept them, a barrier from the inside of the temple precincts where the presence of God is. Now we have an altar that bids us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain help in time and hour of need. It's reflective, our worship, just like the text is reflective, by him therefore. Wherefore is the therefore, because of what's just been told to you. So it is in our worship to God every single time that we gather together. It's reflective. We worship the Lord. Jesus, thank you for what you've done. If it weren't for you, there'd be no access. If it weren't for you, there'd be no acceptance. If it weren't for you, for crying out loud, there would be nothing to sing about. Amen? It's reflective. Number two, it's directive. It's to God. Our worship is to God. Notice what the writer says in this verse here. He says, our praise is to be given to God. Worship then, based on this verse, is supremely for the purpose of blessing God, not for the supreme purpose of blessing me. That might totally rock some of your boats. Like, wait a minute. I need my worship. This is my worship. I come in. This is my chance to get into the presence of God and sort of get my worship on and let the walls come down. We just sang it. This is my opportunity for my heart to soften so it's ready to receive God's word. Those are truths, but they are secondary to the primary reason of what worship is for. It is to bless God, not you. It's to bless God. Let me define for you what worship is. And before I do that, I don't want anyone to think that I'm seeking to belittle or to demean. I'm seeking to be educational based on biblical truths so that you and I can have a right approach in what we do in almost half of our service every single time we gather. We should know why we do what we do. We bring people to church with us. I hope that we do that. Friends, neighbors, coworkers, and if they lean over to you and say, why are we still singing? Well, you know, what is going on? Why is so much of the time given to the singing? You should be able to respond back to them with a biblical reason. So even if they don't like it, at least it's like, well, at least you got a reason for it. Amen? Let me define for you worship. Worship means to ascribe worth to something or someone. If you're taking a note this morning, the easiest way to define worship, listen, is worth-ship. Worth-ship. In other words, what's being demonstrated to us in the text this morning by the writer is because God is worthy, he's worth our praise, it's directive to him. We sing to him because he is worthy of all of our praise. The word that's used most often in the New Testament for worship means toward, it means to kiss or to lean. So in other words, think of it this way. It's like when we are worshiping God, we're leaning toward him. We are leaning into him. We are seeking, if you would, to spiritually kiss him. It's adoration. It's in some senses, obsession. It's affection. Some of the Greek grammars broke it down this way. To give you a word picture, it's like a dog of a master who loves his master. Whenever the master comes to the home, the dog wants to be where the master is, and he wants to lick. He wants to lick his hand. He wants to get close to his master because he loves his master. Cats don't do that. Dogs do. The Greeks got it down. This is what it's like when we come to worship God. We love him so much. We're so thankful for what he's done because it's reflective. It's then directive. It's, God, I want to get close to you. God, I want to get near to you. There's this need to express God how I feel. We worship the Lord for two reasons. We worship him for who he is, or if you want to write it this way, for what he is. So in other words, even if he did nothing at all in addition to saving us, he is still worthy of our praise. We worship him for who he is. We worship him, and we give thanks, as the writer says in verse 15, to his name. His name's different than your name. Your name is whatever, you know, because your parents liked the name, so they named you that. Maybe there wasn't much significance to it, or in our culture, I venture to say maybe the most significance is that your father's name was that, or your grandmother's name, or some type of, you know, name from generations in the past. That's why it was given to you. But in the Bible times, a name was given to describe the nature. So we give thanks, the end of verse 15 says, to his name. We worship him for his name, for who he is. Jesus, God has become our salvation. So we worship his name, the name above all names. The name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of all. We worship him for his name, you understand? We worship him for his name because his name is his nature. So it's reflective and it's directive. Jesus, I worship you. These songs that are put on the screen that Daniel and the team, they lead us in, God, it's for you. It's to you if it's biblical. It's for you. It's to you. It's because of who you are. It's because of who you are. It's because of what you are. You are salvation, and I give you thanks. The word thanks is interesting. It's homologeo. It's the same word that John employs in 1 John 1:9 when he says, if we confess, there it is. It's the same word as confess. It means this. It means to say the same thing about. So in other words, when I worship God, I say the same thing about you, God, as what you and your word say about you. You are faithful through the ages, right? You guys seeing that? You're dependable, you're genuine, you're true, you're merciful, you're compassionate. How do you know that? Because he told you so. So when you praise the Lord, you're agreeing with him about what he says about himself. Come on, give him a round of praise. Bless the Lord. Give him thanks this morning. It's directive. It's to Jesus. It's to his name. It's to his name. But listen, as much as it's not just for what he does, it is also for what he does, secondly. It's also for what he does. He blesses us. He's done exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what any of us could even fathom. And if you say that's presumptuous, you don't know my story. I don't know your story, but I know what the book of Hebrews says. It tells us that he provided us with Jesus, who is better than the prophets, who is better than Moses, who is better than Joshua, who is better than the angels. God, who at sundry times has spoken to us through his Son, in Son, Jesus Christ. It's for what he does. He gave us Jesus. What we have in Jesus, we worship him for it. How about the fact, though, in addition to that, that he daily loads us with his benefits? The air that we breathe, the clothes on our backs, our church family that loves us, food in our stomachs, man. He daily loads us with his benefits. So me personally, if you're new this morning, if you're visiting, if you're not yet a Christian and you're a spectator, or if you are a Christian but you were uncertain, for me personally, this is why I raise my hands. This is why I raise my hands. I've given you a lot of reasons through the years why I raise my hands. This morning my reason is because I can't get close enough to him with my words. So my heart takes me past my words. My heart takes me past my head. I'm thankful for Elevation. I'm thankful for Hillsong in the regard of music. I'm thankful for our worship team and any songs that might be written by them. But at the end of the day, no man's words can take me to the throne like I want to be. No man can express for me with vocabulary, any vocabulary, even the Greek, hold short of giving the Lord the glory that's due to his name. So I lift my hands because I want to worship him with my whole body, all that I am. It takes me past my words. And the scripture says, the psalmist says, that we are to lift up our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. There's something biblical to it. It takes us past our words. It's reflective. It's directive. Thirdly, this morning, our worship, if it's biblical worship, as we move through this punch list, it's transformative. It's transformative. It's the fruit of our lips, the writer says. Transformative means causing a marked change in someone. There's a marked change in us. There's a fruit that flows from our lives, and the fruit identifies the root. The fruit of any tree identifies the root, the nature of the tree. I walk by an apple tree and see apples hanging. That's how I know it's an apple tree, because of the fruit that hangs there. There isn't fruit of praise flowing from my lips to God before I'm saved. That I had no desire. Before I was even recommitted to Christ, I had no desire, even saved, backslidden, in sin. I'd sit here numb. I'd sit here cold. I'd sit here indifferent to whatever song was being sung, to whatever person was weeping as they're singing. It didn't move me at all. But the transforming, working power of God's Spirit translating me out of darkness into the kingdom of light is fruit. The praise of my lips is fruit of what God is doing internally in me. You understand? Before Christ, there's no desire. Not only is there not a capacity, there's not even a desire. And the irony is that the Bible says that we were created to worship. So we know that in the depths of us, because there's a hole in our soul that can't be plugged. But then when we come to Christ, we look back and we say, well, that's what that was. I didn't know. But while we're in that, we have no clue. We're trying to fill it with everything that's out there. Right? It's transformative. There's fruit. It's evidence. It's evidence to me, and it's evidence to all of you, that something real and living and tangible is happening between me and the living God. The Bible teaches us. It's the fruit of our lips. So for those of you who are here this morning and you say, well, I'm more of one that just kind of likes to, I'm more of an intellect. I'm sort of one who just kind of likes to have thoughts towards God. I would suggest to you, the Bible says your thoughts aren't enough. I would suggest to you that there's an exercise of pleasing the Lord and blessing the Lord with your lips that needs to take place so that you could be a healthy follower of Jesus. Something healthy, something that speaks of being alive and healthy and pleasing to the Lord and offering him to the praise of our lips. So now we don't have just the capacity to do so. We have a need to. I don't know how some people just keep missing church. I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about outside of COVID. I don't know how some people are just like, I don't need it. There's this longing within me to gather together with God's people to sing praises to him. Because he inhabits the praises of his people. He comes and he dwells in the midst of what we got going on here this morning, and there should be a crave for it. Richard, there's a crave for it. I seen you up here. You couldn't stop lifting your hands and singing to the Lord. You blessed me. People who want to worship God, you blessed me. Steve and Ruth, the way that you guys sing to Jesus every week. It blesses me. And I need you guys to let the praise of your lips flow. Because I feed off of that. I got to get up here and cheerlead for you guys every week. I got to get up here and preach. I feed off that. Is McKenna in the room? Her voice was fresh this morning. It blessed me. Chriselle, you're ready to jump in crowd surf. It's amazing. It blesses me. You're being you. It blesses me. Daniel, when you came in on that last song, your voice washed over me. It's refreshing. Richard Timothy, Stevie on the drums. I want to jump in that cage with you. Zach on every instrument that he plays, the saxophone. Y'all already know how I feel about that. It blesses me. And I'm nobody. It blesses the Lord. I'm just saying we need it. There's fruit. There's fruit. Jay, there's fruit, man, when you yell amens and bless the Lord. There's fruit in that. I feed off that. Thank you. There's those of you who are in the seats that there's a seat ministry. You don't even know about it because it's fruit. You don't understand how deep. Every verse is an eight-week study. I'm trying to move through it in 30 minutes. There's fruit. What do you do with fruit? You eat it. You're satisfied. You're energized. You're strengthened. There is fruit that flows when we sing to the Lord. If you're humdrum and you're sitting there like this is the passing time or this is the grace period, I hang in the foyer or, oh, the food truck, I'm out there. I got time to eat my breakfast. It's 11 o'clock and I hear the music starting, but service doesn't really start at 11:30. Wrong. You're missing out and you're ripping God off of what's due to his name. You're ripping him off. It's not a warm up. It's not you time. It's not for you to come in here and, you know, participate if you like the melody and not participate if you don't like the melody. This is what is due to him. It's what's due to him. And listen, if you only come on Sundays, and I get it, because if anyone's busy, I'm busy. So I understand if that's all you come for. I'm thankful that you do. But if that's all that you come to, it's only 30 minutes of your whole week that you sing praises to God with his people. You're going to spend eternity doing that. Worship is the primary activity of heaven. Go read Revelation. Every chapter seems to repeat itself. And they fell before the throne, and they were singing, worthy is the Lamb to receive all glory and honor and power and praise. Every tongue, every tribe, every people, every kindred, the angels, the 24 elders in, right? I mean, that's all they're doing is worshiping the Lamb who was slain. We should get used to it. We're going to be doing it in glory. Moving through this here this morning, it's submissive. It's submissive. It's a sacrifice of praise. If something's a sacrifice, I don't know how you read that, but to me, it's as though it's saying to me, it speaks to me in this manner, maybe I don't want to do it. So it's a sacrifice. Maybe I don't want to do it. Maybe I don't have it. Oh, Dave, your son is Charlo. You owe the league $600 for the fee this year because there's new umpires that are in the league. That's a sacrifice. I don't have $600 just laying around. But I'm going to figure out how to pay it because it's my son. Something's going to get pushed back. Something's going to not be bought so that I can put that in its place and take care of the boy so he can play the sport that he loves to play. That's a sacrifice. It's submissive. I don't want to worship God. I've never been much of a singer. Or I'm going through something right now. It's not predicated upon what you're going through right now or what I'm going through right now or what I feel like doing or not doing. It's submitting to him of what he told me I need to do, and that's do unto him. There's submission involved with this. Sacrifice of praise. Listen to this. There's never a song out. I'm not sitting a song out. Our flesh wants to do it. I'm sitting this song out. I don't like the way he sings that song. That's not how it was played on the record. I don't like the way she sings it. Where's the girl from last week? I'm sitting this song out. Man, I brought so-and-so to church today, and I was hoping they'd do the songs I love to do. And now they're doing this song, and I don't like the way it's tuned or whatever, or the lyrics or the melody. There's never a song out. It's me giving God my best effort, my whole heart, and I'm doing what God wants me to do. It's becoming a priority, and what I want to do is becoming secondary. That's why it's a sacrifice. You guys are at a noon service on one of the last summer days. It's a sacrifice. Maybe your flesh didn't wake up wanting to do this. Maybe you thought, I'm going to go to Wegmans, get the groceries, get a workout in, go for a run, hang by the pool one last Sunday, you know, go fishing, whatever it would be. But you're here offering to God sacrifice. Something else got pushed on the back burner so you can be here in this place giving the Lord your first fruits. It's a sacrifice, and it blesses the Lord. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's also suggestive. Worship. He said, let us offer. Let us offer. If I offer something, I'm not being forced. If I, right, there's no safeties walking around. Oh, excuse me. Your eyes aren't closed. Your hands aren't raised. You're not, I don't see any lips moving over here. Move them lips, right? Could you even imagine? There's none of that. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. God doesn't make you worship him. It's suggestive. It's suggestive with strong language. But God allows us to exercise our free will with the understanding of it ascends your worship and it's fragrant in his nostrils. It's pleasing to him. It honors him. And listen, you will never walk out of here after 30 minutes of singing a hymn. You'll never walk out of here and say, man, he owes me for that worship service. He is a debtor to me. I worship hard today. I had my hands raised and I was closing my eyes and I was singing and I was all into it. He owes me to you. Listen, God will never be a debtor to any man. He will always outgive whatever little you and I give to him. Always. Always. That's why we think worship's for us. That's why some of you are shocked. I can't believe he just said pastor's not for or worship's not for us. I can't believe pastor just said that. Because why? Because he makes you feel like it is. He ministers to you so much through singing to him that we actually start to think that this was for me when it's always for him. Because he outgives you. He outgives you. You can never outgive the Lord. So it is suggestive for your best interests. Let us offer to the Lord. Focus on what we're saying. Focus on what the words are. And understand that it's fragrant to him. It's pleasing to him. Worship, lastly, for verse 15, is consecutive. We're told that we're to worship continually. We are to praise God continually. Because all these things are continually ours that we've learned in the scripture. He never changes. So therefore, we're never going to wake up to somebody different. So every day is equal reason to give him equal praise. So every day, no matter what it is, every day is equal reason to give him equal praise. He wants you to take that home this week. Listen, Mondays, how many of us love Mondays? Not most. Mondays are hard days. They're back to work days, a couple weeks back to school days, right? They're just a difficult day in general. Long days. For me, it's one of my longest days of the week. I meet with my staff. I have board meetings. I'm home. I'm not home till late at night a lot of times. Difficult days. Tuesdays, though, I love Tuesdays. Tuesdays are like my in-between day between midweek study again on Wednesday and what I just came out of over the weekend. And it's a day where I catch up on office stuff and we have family dinner with Shauna's family on Tuesdays most times. Or one of my kids have a sport. I like Tuesdays. They're kind of like just slow and easy and light and airy. Tuesdays, oh, so I'm going to worship God on Tuesday. But on Monday stinks, I'm miserable, it's rough. So we have this attitude of basing how we feel about God on what's going on in front of us. But the Bible says that he has no variable of changing. There's no changing or turning in him. He's the same. He's always the same. So if he's always the same, he's always worthy of equal praise no matter what the day is. We're to worship the Lord continuously. That's a tough pill for some people to swallow because they're going through different things. And I understand that. That's why I said to you at the start of this study, these things will pierce us differently. That's a hard one for me to grasp. I'm just confessing to you. There are times, man, where it's like, man, Lord, I don't feel like worshiping you. Now what? I'm getting zapped by we are to worship him continuously, and it's a sacrifice of praise. You know how many times I've come in here, and I'm like, I don't want to worship right now. My allergies, I sneezed 86 times before I came out. And now I'm going to ask if I have COVID. I had a bad night's sleep. Maybe you came and you were fighting with your spouse all the way here. And then you're supposed to come in and just worship? Your kid was driving you so crazy, you're swatting at him as you're trying to keep the wheel. The Bible's like, yeah, we're to worship continuously. We're to sacrifice praise that comes from our lips when we don't feel like doing it. This is a word. Difficult. Remember what Paul would say in Thessalonians 5:17, we are to pray continuously. If I could say it this way, I would say it like this. We are then also to praise continuously. Spurgeon said, a praiseful heart is eloquent for God. Praiseful heart. Don't have to have a great voice. That's why I sit in the very front row and I got to worry about somebody hearing me in front of me. You sing the Lord, you don't got to worry about how great your voice is. How skilled you are and clap your hands, although we do need some skilled hand clappers in this church. We need that. That's an issue here. Big issue. We need some rhythm. We need some soul. We need some lovers of Jesus who know how to clap and lead the congregation in that manner. But you don't have to know how to please him. You don't have to sing on key. You can be tone deaf. It's your praise to God from a sincere heart that is eloquent to him. That's important for us to understand. In closing, verse 16, listen please, worship is collaborative. Okay, it's a summation of the whole verse because of time. But look what the writer says. Also he says, do good. Do good, he says. In other words, in the Greek, that phrase means expand your time and your effort to help someone in the name of the Lord. Do good for others. Think outside yourself. Do good, he says, and communicate. Communicate is not what I'm doing with you right now in the language. It's share. It's do good for the body of Christ and share what you have with them, he says. Do good and share what you have with them. Do not forget, for with such sacrifices, God's well pleased. This is part of your worship. Part of your worship is literally taking care of your brother and your sister, the Bible says, in need. It's collaborative. It's not just singing to God. It's not just raising your hands. It's not just clapping them. It's not just making a joyful noise, although it's a lot of that. It's also when you leave the room, right? It's your lifestyle. It's how you live. It's how you conduct yourself. It's how you interact with each other. Oh, you hear somebody's going through something. Help them. If you can meet the need, you know, give them the money. Give them the shirt. Give them the bed. Whatever it would be, this is biblical worship. God looks down, he gets blessed by it. It's so elementary, isn't it? Listen to what I just said to you. God gets blessed when he looks down, he sees his kids sharing. When you look at it, it's like, man, God, that blesses you. But we do too. We when our kids just share. My daughter got new shoes yesterday. She let the other one wear them to church day before she wore them. We're getting in the truck. We're driving this morning. I hear him talking. I say, that just blesses me that you're sharing. They're almost teenagers. One of them is. You're sharing. What it seems so kiddish, but it blesses. It's like, man, not to hear you fight, but to get along and to love in deed, not just in word. The Lord says, man, it blesses me as worship when I see my kids leave the room and let their worship go with them and flow from their lives throughout the week. Because he says there's a propensity to forget. Do you see verse 16? He goes like this, do these things lest you forget. There's a danger of forgetting. Forgetting what? To worship the Lord. Well, it's easy to worship the Lord when the guitars are strummed and the drums are being banged. It's easy to worship the Lord when that is the mood that is set for you. I mean, we can't do more than what we're doing to set the mood for you to worship. But it's easy to sort of lose track of living a life of worship when you leave this atmosphere, when you leave this place. And the Lord says this, it pleases me when you don't forget by taking each other's, you know, needs seriously and blessing one another as you can. Crazy. It's a whole lifestyle. God puts his hand on our whole lives. He says, I want all of it. It's what glorifies my name. So we move through these things. Okay, we're going to read these verses in closing. The team will come to close us out in a song of praise. We look at these things and listen, let's get hung up over phrases as we need to. The service isn't over. I need 2 more minutes of your attention. Get hung up on this punch list where you need to get hung up with the Lord. Okay? Look what it says in this beginning part of the verse 15. By him, therefore. It's only on the ground of his righteousness that we come into his presence. It's by him and his finished work and what he has done that we worship God. That will be something that some of you need to spend the whole week with. It's not by you, it's not your performance, it's not your good works outweighing your bad works, it's not you being the father of the year, it's not you cleaning up your language perfectly, not looking at images you shouldn't look at anymore, quitting smoking this week. Listen to me, please. It's by him, therefore, that we worship God, not by you, not by your righteousness, not by your deeds. It's by him and him alone. Christ plus nothing is everything. Nothing you can do, nothing I can do. Some of you need to stay there. Christians punch list. Some of you need to stay there and say, God, I need you to embed that in me. I'm so works oriented. I come out of some type of intense Christianity or religious background. I can't get past all the pressure, God, that I'm so used to. Everything else in this whole world is so works-driven. God, help me to come and settle this before you. It's only because we have an altar, the cross, that we get to come into his presence. Some of you go to the next phase. Just right there, the next three words, let us offer. Some of you are insubordinate hardheads. When there's a direction given to you, it's like, man, I'm going the other way. All your life you've been that way. It's like, here's the direction, well, then I'm going this way. And now the Holy Spirit's saying to you, I wanna bridle you. Jesus says this to you, I wanna yoke up with you so that we can go the same direction. You're being invited to offer up praise to me, and submission is the issue. As he gives us the opportunity to sacrifice praise to him. Some of you, it's priority. Man, I don't got time for all this Jesus stuff to interfere with the rest of my life. Church is one thing, but the rest of my life, continuously, I got to worship God. This is crazy. And the Lord's going to teach you what sacrifice is. Like David says, if it don't cost me nothing, it's not worship. I don't want it. I don't want you to give me the field. I want to buy the field. Sacrifice. You just keep moving through this. It's to God. Those two words will ruin you the whole week. Everything's about me and what I do. I eat what I want. I go where I want. I dress how I want. I talk how I want. I do what I want. Me, me, me. For goodness sakes, I got a D on my chain right now. How much about me is it? And now God's like, no, that's not what worship is. It's not about you. It's about me. Maybe some of you have been so self-consumed, and that's why you're miserable today. Eyes inward, constantly. I wish I had this. I wish it was different. I wish that I had what she had. I wish I had what he had. Me and my dad were talking about it yesterday. It's not that I don't want them to have what they have. It's just I want to have what they have too. And it's ruining you. You can't appreciate what you do have, what's under your nose. You can't be grateful anymore. You can't thank God anymore because you're not even thinking about God. You're just thinking about you. Worship is to God. Get your eyes off yourself. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and worship him. It's uplifting. It's uplifting. Continually. He says continually, man, we got to do this continually. Some of you are having a hard time standing up for Christ. You leave the room, you leave the congregation, you leave the premises, you go out into the world. The continual thing's what's ruining you. You got no problem joining in with the singing when they're singing. But when the band fades and they're gone and the lights go back on and I leave and the room shuts down and you make your way out there, that's the issue. Holy Spirit's saying to you this, listen, I want to get with you this week. Let's not leave the book and go to the next book unchanged. What's the point? Who cares where I take you? I got people saying, well, you teach us Revelation, well, you teach us Isaiah. Who cares where I take you if you won't take what I give you and do something with it? Who cares what I study next if I don't take what I've received and sought to give and don't do anything with it? What's the point? I can't say, there's nothing new coming your way. So maybe the thing for you this week is getting with the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, make me continuous in my worship. Because, man, I start denying you when I get out there. I start getting embarrassed of you. I get ashamed for people to know that I'm a Christ follower, that I got a Bible, that I pray before I eat. I get ashamed. And the Lord just wants to iron these kinks out before we go. Isn't it crazy how he stoops? That's how the Bible is supposed to be taught. I don't know what's going on. That's how it's supposed to be. He stoops. Every week we should be thinking of him like this. He stoops. He's the servant king. That's why I'm teaching Mark on Wednesday nights. He's the servant. He comes down. He says, give me your dirty feet. It is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Give me your dirty feet. Oh, no, Lord, not my feet. Never my feet, Lord. Peter, you don't understand. If I don't wash your feet, you can't have any part with me. Isn't that crazy? Let's stick with you. Take it home. If I don't wash your feet, oh, then if that's the case, I'm jumping in the basin and washing my whole body. Peter, you've already been washed. You're already cleansed. You're already saved. You just need your feet washed. Y'all come to church to get your feet washed. And if I'm teaching the Bible right, you should feel that grace wrapping the message every week. He just wants to wash your feet. Don't pull him back from him. So you've been inconsistent. Let him make you consistent. It's very simple. He's going to do it this way, by pouring out his spirit upon you. He's going to pour out his spirit upon you. It's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God, I thank you for your word this morning. I give thanks to your name. I pray that you'd finish what you've started in this place. In Jesus' name.